Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go with the message this morning. Looking forward to it today. It's going to be good for us. It's going to be good for you. It's going to be good for our church, good for our community. If you'll listen today and you'll take it in, we're in a series called True Value, Building Up Families. And I've had such incredible responses through letters, emails. Last week it was a message on valuing relationships. I got the most incredible email from somebody who last week, after hearing that message, went out and dealt with something immediately in a relationship. And a relationship was completely restored, solidly restored, firmly restored. And that's the amazing thing of God's Word. God's Word, when you listen to it, when you take it in, okay, and you let it work in your life, it can do incredible things. Not every one of us needed to do that last week. Probably some did. Amen? But certainly things we're saying right now, we're trying to strengthen you and help you realize that you matter to God. That's something He's had to show me and teach me over the last couple of years. Gary Clark, you have value. You matter to me. Okay? So when your world gets shaky and things get turned upside down, He's never shaken. You understand? He's never shaken. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. You can't change His love for you. And you got to get that real good down inside of you. We spent a lot of time last week talking about that. Amen? Let's move forward today. Here we go. Today's message, say that with me. Investing in... Now, come on and help me now. This is really important today, man. Every week's important. Last week's gone. It's over. This is today, beginning of our brand new week. We need to hear truth from God today. Amen. Say. So investing in who? Come on. Amen. Come on. Investing in others is our message today. Okay? You have value. We've established that. I have value. I matter. Okay? We talked last week about God loving us. And we need to become. We need to be what with God's love? We need to be comfortable. Say that word with me. Comfortable with God loving us. The best relationships, human relationships, are those relationships where love is flowing and it's comfortable. Are you hearing me? Yes or no? You're not like stressing and pushing and having to work it and oh my gosh. Nah. But where relationships are what? Comfortable. That's the goal here. That should be the goal in your relationship with others. Your wife, your husband, your kids, your family, your friends. It should be, my goal is to be comfortable in my relationships, okay? Now you might say, I don't know how to do that. Well, God can help you, and you're going to become comfortable with His love, and you're going to get value, and you're going to know that you matter more and more and more. You press in towards Him, and it's going to help you in your life and your relationships. Did I lose you or not? Okay. We're going to move now. Been talking about you, been talking about me. How we can get established. Why? Well, because that's what we need, and that's for the glory of the Lord. But there's also another side to it, and that's because people need the Lord. People need us to care about them. Did you hear me? People need what? Us to do what? Care about them. Are y'all with me? Don't let me put you to sleep on this kind of message. Amen? Come on. People need us to care about them. So here we go with the message. The best thing I have done in my life is investing in people. The best thing I've done in my life is investing in people. The very best thing I have done in my life is to invest in the lives of other people. Did you know I never lack friends? And I'm not trying to puff me up today. I'm just trying to get you to understand how this works. Okay? Well, I don't have any friends. Did you know the Bible says a man who has friends has to show himself what? Friendly. That's from the Word of God. I don't understand why nobody likes me. Let me say something to you. This is important, guys, what we're talking about. Valuing yourself. Knowing that God loves you. Okay? So that instead of you just trying to go get somebody to help you, you step out in confidence and you start helping other people. Did you hear me? And investing in other people. And caring about other people. Investing time, concern, and even goods and things like that into other people's lives many times. I tell you what, best thing I've ever done in my life. I tell you what, it keeps coming back to you too. It'll come back to you. And you'll see that in this message today. So, that's the best thing I've done in my life, is investing in other people. Now, stay with me. Where did I learn it from? Jesus. Okay, I learned it from Jesus. I didn't grow up like this. I didn't grow up, let's go to church, let's win people to Jesus. I grew up cussing Jesus. I grew up, can't stand people. A few church people especially, I couldn't stand you at all. Okay? Because I was a sinner and a hell raiser and I was a bad kid. You think I cared about people like you? Absolutely not. Okay, Mom and I walked to church that first Sunday after she watched Crazy Billy Graham on TV. Acting all crazy. And here we are going to church. I'm cussing her on the way. I get there just wanting to pick a fight with somebody. You know what I'm saying? Where did I learn then to invest in other people? Jesus. That's where I learned it. But I had to see it. And I saw it modeled in my mama. I'm going to tell you something right now. If my mama was here today, she was murdered 20 years ago this Thanksgiving. But if my mama was here today, she'd walk in that back door and she'd light this room up. I'll tell you that right now. Why? Because she's so beautiful. Well, she's always beautiful to me. But, no, it was her countenance. It was her way she'd walk over to you and hug on you. It was the way her eyes would light up. It was the way when you would ask her, how are you doing? She'd turn it so quick and she'd say, I'm fine, but how are you doing? All of a sudden that conversation start going towards you. Mama invested in people. She was a waitress, an old country waitress at a barbecue lodge. It's great. People love barbecue in North Carolina. And if you got sweet tea and barbecue and good crinkly cut French fries and slaw, and a woman running the place with a big old smile, loves people, you're going to make a lot of money. She made this man a lot of money that she ran that barbecue restaurant. Amen? But I watched Mama, and I saw it modeled in her. All us kids, there's six in the Clark family. Every one of us to a dime. Every one of us think Mama loved us most. We know they're all screwed up and wrong, and I'm the one she loved the most. We know this. Okay. She had a way of investing in us. And here's the thing, up until she was almost 40, 42, she was a drunk and a hell raiser herself. She got saved when she was about 40 or so. But she had something in her. You know what I'm saying? She had something. She had personality. She had a way to just care for people. And then when she became a child of God, oh my goodness, Jesus came in. Amen? And it all fit together like a hand in a glove. Are y'all listening or not? Investing in others. I learned it from Jesus. I saw it modeled in my mama. Okay? Let's talk about it today. If you invest in others, you'll never what? If you invest in others, you'll never what? Come on, church, say it again. If you invest in others, you'll never what? You'll never lack. You start investing in people, caring for people, giving to people, loving people. Let me tell you something. If you do that and you're sincere and you're honest, let me tell you something. When it comes your turn, it's going to come back to you. Do y'all hear me or not? I guarantee it. When I went through my struggle and my hurt, I'll tell you what. One of the things that helped me so much is I believed it would come back to me. When I couldn't do, when I could hardly put a foot in front of the other, I felt like there was people in my life that I could trust because I invested in their lives. And you know what? I was right. I started opening up, started trusting and sharing even pain and hurt and struggle in my life. And I tell you what, it was just been a beautiful thing. And I did that with you guys. How many remember all that stuff? Remember messages that were crazy? Remember the pit and all that stuff I put up on the big screen? I was in the hole and I was going to get to the top up yonder where that crack is. Remember all that stuff? The pain. it came back to me. Your love. Hope I'm not boring you to tears here. Just trying to make a point so that you'll get on this bus of investing in other people. Let's look at it now. Investing in others is going to what, though? It's going to cost you. Now, that's the trouble now. I know. I just screwed you up. I know. Investing in others is going to what? It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Let's look at it. Let's learn from Jesus. I always do better when we learn from Jesus. It cost Jesus. It cost Jesus. Now remember, He's the Son of the living God. He's God Himself. Yet He took time to invest in people. Sometimes, well, this ain't in the message, but sometimes we got to come down off our high horse of who we think we are and get down off that old high horse and start working with folks and realizing you just like them and they just like you. Amen, say. Amen. Jesus was high and above everybody. But the Bible says that He humbled Himself. He was made in the likeness of men, found in fashion as a man. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came down. He invested in other people. But it cost Jesus. But I want you to see what it cost Him. The Son of Man has come, say that with me, eating and what? Drinking. And you say, behold, a what? A gluttonous man and a what? A wine bibber. A friend of publicans and sinners. It cost Jesus His what? It cost Him His reputation. He invested in other people. And it cost Him His reputation. I want you to stay with me. Don't let me lose you here. I think a lot of times we don't invest in other people. What will people think? Whatever. Whatever. Would you start seeing people as lost people going to hell and needing God, needing Jesus, and needing somebody to invest in their life? Quit worrying about you. And me, quit worrying about me. Amen? I've got the God of heaven who's given me marching orders to preach a gospel. I know I've got the only thing that can change a man's life. I'm going to be ashamed of that. Are you kidding me? I need to tap into that. Y'all hearing me today? And have absolute confidence that I can invest in other people's worlds and lives. And this is going to be awesome. Okay? Jesus gave up His reputation. It cost Him His reputation. You know why? Because He would eat and drink with people. I don't know if you knew this about Jesus. Jesus would eat and drink with people. Okay? So much so, they called Him a what? Just another word is like, you're just a pig. You're just a pig. Every time we see you eating all the time, yeah, that Jesus, every time, he's a pig, man. Every time I saw him, I would eat with people. All those crazy people following Him. And wait a minute, pop it back up. And He's a what? He's a drunk. Did you see Him the other day? Say, you remember that one dude's house? Eating like a pig. They were all drinking. Did you know they talked about Him like that? They talked about Him like that. They talked about your Savior, my Savior, the Son of the living God. They talked about Him like that. You might say, Clark, how you know all this? Plain English in the Bible, I got to just read it. That's what Jesus said they called Him. I heard them say this about me. And don't forget, He's the Son of God. He can read lips. You understand? This isn't something imaginary. It cost Him His reputation. Never sinned. Never hurt anyone. The best a man could ever be. He gave that up because people mattered. Now, He was still all that. But He gave up His reputation for people. Did you hear me or not? I don't know why that's in the Bible. Maybe it's because we're stuck on ourselves. Maybe we need to see that. Maybe we need to see that to get us to move toward people. You hearing me today? So it cost him his reputation, but Jesus did it what? Anyway. Absolutely. Oh, they're dogging him everywhere he's going. He's doing this, he's over there, he's doing this. He goes, okay, watch this, I'm going again. Amen? So I want to talk about that today. Just let's move it. You know why Jesus gave his reputation, basically what people thought about him? You know why he went ahead and loved him anyway? Because people what? Mattered to him. People mattered to him. People mattered to him. It didn't matter who they were. They mattered to him. He cared for them. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus had an uncanny knack, too. He could make people, even if there's crowds of 5,000 or 3,000 or whatever, he had a way of just making all those people feel like they were with him. And he did crazy things with people. I mean, obviously, he had his 12 disciples. But you go through the Bible and you see the relationships that Jesus had with people. All the time, he's talking about people, people surrounding him. Even when he's in places, little kids are running up to him, wanting to see him, wanting to touch him. He's in locations, and people, if they can just grab hold of his clothes or touch his garment or something like that. Are y'all listening? Amen? Say, they'd be crippled people, hadn't walked in years. Oh, please, get me, help me, do something. Take me to that man. Help me get to Jesus. Amen? That was Jesus. That was Jesus. That's who Jesus is. Jesus loves people. Period. He wants us to love people. You hearing me? He wants us to invest in others. But the cool thing is, if you invest in others, it'll be the best thing you'll ever do with your life. If you invest in others, you'll never what? Lack. It's incredible. You're going to feel better about you, and they're going to feel better about themselves and about you. It's going to be an incredible thing when you invest in other people. Y'all listening or not? Have I lost you? You feel you had like a Carnegie conference or something? Here we go. He said, I'm going to do it anyway, regardless of what you say. And, wait a minute, I'm going to do it with who? Publicans and who? Sinners. Oh yeah, he says, I'm a glutton and I'm a wine bibber. I'm a friend of publicans and sinners. That's what they say about me. That's what they say about me. Who are these publicans and sinners? Can you speak English here that I can understand, Pastor? Well, they're actually tax collectors. They're crooks. He spent a lot of time with crooks. I know this is really unraveling a lot of your theology and thinking about Jesus today, but it's okay. He spent a lot of time with crooks. Do you know that? If you're a crook here today, you should feel good about this. How many have ever been crooked at some point in your life in some way? Can I see your hand? See, Jesus, your friend. Here we go. Tax collectors and crooks. And people of vice and crime, publicans and sinners. That word sinners, if you look at the etymology of that word in the Greek, it's people of vice and crime. Criminals and lowlifes and some really, really bad people. And I can see Jesus grinning when the religious elite would say something about him. And they think they're out of earshot. But he's got these really good ears. Amen? And I think he grinned because he was on his mission to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. Amen? Investing in others. So what they said about Jesus was what? He did it. Flat out. No denying it. He believed these people had value. He invested his time. He invested his own reputation for them. That's the Lord. Amen? You think people should matter to us? Say. You think people in Englewood should matter? You think before we shoot off the mouth at people and say that and just give our opinions, you think we ought to try to ask God to help us and just help us a little bit? Lord, we want to be like you and invest. You think that might be a good thing? Yes or no? Say. Waitresses tell me, I've said it to you before, many waitresses are good friends of mine this time because I eat a lot. And I get the low-down scoop on folk, okay, from the waitress folk. Anyway, they tell me meanest people, most difficult people to get along with is the Sunday after church crowd. Were you a waitress? Waitress 7 years, amen, and over here to the left. Did you know the waitresses that people are rude to are my friends? You're going to tick me off if you're ticking off one of my friends. Did you hear me, yes or no? Fellowship Church ought to be the nicest, kindest people in this community. Why? Because we actually are taking the time to try to teach you and help you how you ought to treat people and love on people and care for people. We're without excuse here at this church. Amen? Say, come on. Love people, man. Invest in people. That's what we're talking about. Keep looking. Can we look at a few of them Jesus invested in real fast? This isn't going to take long. I want you to see some of the folks. Now, I could have gone all over the Bible. I'm just staying with some of what he say. He said he was a glutton and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. So I tried to find some of these kind. Here we go. Let's start off with the crook. Here's the crook. Y'all ready? Let's watch Jesus in action. Here he is. You know what they're saying about him. There's Jesus. Who's he going home with today? You know? Here he is. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans and sinners there. He was rich. What does this mean? He's the biggest crook Jesus could find. Period. In all of Jericho, he found the biggest crook he could find. And when Jesus came to the place, I skipped a couple of verses, but he found this biggest crook he could find. And Jesus is speaking. And when he came to the place, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus. And he was in what kind of tree? Do you remember? He was in a sycamore tree. He climbed this biggest crook in town climbed up a sycamore tree because he was what? He was short. That's right. That's what the Bible says. And so here's Jesus. He's talking. He comes to the place. He looks up in this sycamore tree and he saw Zacchaeus. And he said to him, make haste and come down. Does this look like Jesus is trying to hide his investment in other people? Say, he could have easily picked this guy and said, hey, can I come to dinner with you tonight? Oh, no. Oh, no. That's not Jesus. Jesus picks the guy in the tree who is the biggest crook in the whole area. Probably owned that tree, that guy did. You know what I'm saying? That was his tree. And Jesus says, hey, come on down. I'm going home with you today. Can you imagine the crowd? Can you imagine the people that talked about it? And he made haste. Zacchaeus came right down. And he received him what? Do you think many people ever cared for Zacchaeus? Do you think he even really deserved people to care for him the way he treated people and he was a crooked man? Did Jesus care for him? Did Zacchaeus jump at the chance to be cared for? Oh, yeah. And when they saw it, the crowd, the murmurs, the complainers, the critics, they all murmured saying that he was going to be the guest with a man that's a what? Crook. And Zacchaeus stood, and after Jesus went to eat with him, they had dinner, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, after he met Jesus and Jesus had a chance to minister to him and show his love, Zacchaeus said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, which that's funny right there. If you have, that's all you've ever done, Jack. If I've taken anything from any man falsely, I'll restore it how many times? Fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is what? Salvation has come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of who? Abraham. For the Son of Man, say this verse with me, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are y'all hearing me today? Are you seeing Jesus in action? Did he get talked about it for doing it? Yes or no? Like a dog he did. Did he do it anyway? Did Zacchaeus matter to him? Absolutely. He made an investment in this man. I'm just taking it from the Scriptures. Jesus invested in others. Here was his investment. Just me talking from the Scriptures. He looked at him and said, you're a son. You're a son.
his whole life because of his behavior. He had been ostracized by the religious folk. You hearing me? You're no son of Abraham. I bet he heard it his whole life. And Jesus went right to the heart of the matter and he said, "You're a what?" Say it with me. "You're a..." One more time. "You're a..." "You're a..." Do you look at kids in Inglewood sometimes? Maybe they look all messed up and screwed up. And maybe the way they dress, the way they look, and you even catch yourself not caring for them. You look down on them a little bit and you forget that they're a what? They're a what? They're a what? They're a what? Jesus didn't forget. What else did he say to him? "I called you." Did he call him down from that tree? "I called you. I called you. I called you." Don't you think folks that we can invest our time in, their life, and share with them, wouldn't it be great to know that if they could know that, you know, God's calling them too, say? How are they going to know this? You think the crowd maybe they're associating with is going to tell them about it? Probably isn't happening, guys. Say. People that are lost need somebody to help them be found. They need to know God's calling them too. You're called, man. You're called. God so loved you, He gave His only Son, that if you'll believe in Him, you'll have everlasting life. Who, me? Yeah, you. You're called, man. You hear me or not? You see Jesus today? Let's look at another one. Okay, here he goes. Investing in others. Here we go again. A prostitute. What? What? No wonder they talked about him. Roger even threw a red light up there for you. And see, he thinks I'm a preacher all these years. I don't know nothing about that red light. Here we go. Come on, come on. Yeah. "And behold, a woman in the" what? "City." Street woman. Which was a what? Sinner. A person of vice and crime. When she knew that Jesus was at this Pharisee's house having some supper, this street woman brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood it behind Jesus' feet, weeping and crying, and began to wash His feet with tears and did wipe His feet with the hairs of her head. She kissed His feet and she's just broken and she's all messed up and she's down at His feet. She don't know what to do with her life and it's a mess. And she came to Jesus as best she could. Keep going. "And when the Pharisee had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, but not knowing Jesus can know what you're saying. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that's touching him." Say it with me. "For she is a..." Well, I don't have the whole story up there. But basically, Jesus turned around. He looked at that Pharisee, that leader. And he said, "Let me tell you something. I came to your house. You ain't kissed me once. You ain't give me no water for my feet. You ain't done nothing. I'm going to tell you that right now." That's what Jesus said. "I'm going to tell you something. This woman who you call a sinner, let me tell you something. She hadn't stopped kissing my feet as soon as she got in this house and loving on me and caring for me." He says to this woman, "Your sins are" what? "Forgiven." Then he says something else to her. "Woman, your faith has" what? "Go in" what? "Peace." How'd you feel Jesus working? Did you feel Him working or not? Say, "Oh yeah. I told you I learned this stuff from Jesus." Oh, he's good at it. What was the investment? We saw the investment to Zacchaeus. What was this investment? Here's an investment He made into her life. Look at this. He looked at her and He told her, "You are saved." Are you kidding me? Say, can you imagine her lost state, how she came in all a wreck? And you know what He said to her? Say it with me. "You are" what? One more time. "You are" what? "You are" what? Wouldn't you love to have the opportunity to invest in somebody's life and be able to hear them say that sinner's prayer with you and just go through the, you know, whatever, just a simple prayer like I pray, and you be able to look them in the eye, and those old eyes are all red, and you can look at them and go, say it with me, you are, you are, you are. How incredible is that? So, you know what else he told her? I forgive you. You're forgiven. You think that was an investment in her life? To say I'm saved. To say I've been forgiven of all my sins. You know what Jesus thought? You know what? Losing my reputation's worth this. It's pretty good stuff. I like this. Let them talk about me while I just keep doing my thing. Amen? Say. That's the way I see it. Let's look at another. Is this boring you to tears today, all these people Jesus loved and helped? Maybe you can learn something from the Master today. Let's look at another one. He said four things they say about him. So we just got four of them up here. An outcast. Somebody other people didn't talk to. Somebody other people didn't have anything to do with. Especially the religious, was an outcast. John chapter 4, verse 1 says, say it with me, and, this is Jesus, let's go ahead and say Jesus, and Jesus must needs go through, and Jesus must go through. He told the guys, hey guys, got some news for you today. Guess where we're going? They're like, where? Samaria. Jews would actually go around Samaria to get where they were going. They wouldn't even go through it. Even though it was a direct shot to get where they needed to go so often. But because of the people of Samaria, they wouldn't have anything to do with them. Did you understand me? Yes or no? He must what? Needs go. But they're like, why we got to go that way? Why we go the other way? Because we needs go. What? We can't be doing that. We're going to get dirty over there with them people. We must what? Needs go. I like that old word, needs go. Sounds like a country word. He must needs go. Come on. Here we go. So he must needs go to Samaria. And guess what? There comes a woman of who? So they're in Samaria, and a woman comes to draw water, and Jesus says unto her, say it with me, give me a drink. He's not commanding her. He's asking of her of a drink. And the woman of Samaria says this to him, how is it that you being a what? Ask a drink of which am a woman of Samaria. Say that last part with me. For the Jews have no what? With the who? You think Jesus got talked about for this one? Say. Oh, yeah. I heard the other day he even went to Samaria and talked to some woman at the well. You hear me? Yes or no? Did Jesus think people mattered? Are we getting the message? So anyway, he talks to her. She tries to throw some other prophecy stuff in their little conversation, etc. And they're talking back and forth. And Jesus, you know, Jesus, I mean, he just finally says to her, like, if you just knew who you were talking to, you could ask me of a drink. And you'd never thirst again. Because I'll give you water that'll spring up inside of you like a well of living water. Amen? So he continued to talk. We don't have their whole talk in the Bible. But all I know is she was changed. Say that with me. She was what? She was changed. She was what? She was what? She was what? That's the beauty of investing in other people's lives, because they are changed. Wow. Yeah, she was changed. So much so that she goes back to town and she says, come, see a man which told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ, the Messiah? the anointed one. I think she got it, don't you? What was the investment Jesus made? Here it is. You're special. You're special. I thought I didn't matter. You matter to me. You're special to me. See, I told the boys earlier this morning, we must needs come over here. See, we went out of our way to get here. Why? Because you are set with me. One more time, you're what? Guys, it is so easy to get on the bandwagon with other people, and even other Christians many times, and stand against people who have been outcast. What guts or courage does that take? That takes nothing but to cross that line. And leave them and go over here to the outcast. That's some good stuff. You hearing me? That's what Jesus did, guys. Are you hearing me or not? I don't know why we don't get it. It's all in the Bible. There it is, man. We get some screwy teaching at church sometimes. It's funny. We teach you how to dress up fancy. Come the first day of the week, think you've done all you need to do all week long. Bring your Bible and you're very special. We'll put you up on a stage, dress you up in choir robes. Aren't you pretty? Hey, if people do that, they can have at it. God bless them. I'm just saying, there's a lost world that could really use some real people touching them. Are you hearing it today or not? You're hearing it today. You ain't getting off the hook here. You are special. And then he said this, I believe, certainly by his actions, I came for who? You. I came for you. I came for you. That's why I'm here today. I came for you. Amen? Wow. Last one. Oh, I forgot this verse. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Would you say that with me? A verse I learned when I was a kid. Say it with me. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. One last time. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I tell you what. Jesus liked to eat out. You can say what you want to about it. Jesus was always eating with people. Even when there were people with him that didn't have anything to eat, he said this, hey, let's eat. Fed 3,000, fed 5,000. You know how he did that, don't you? You see him a lot of times. Check out your Bible sometimes and see how many things he's doing. Even his Last Supper, I think they were what? I think they were what? Eating? And I think that's what we see there. And if you think about it, guys, stay with me because I'm going goofy on you. If you think about it, that's the best times that we have in our family to sit around a table or to go somewhere around a little table and share a little time with our family is eating. And then you've got chances in your community. Some of you need to get over this hermit thing you got going on. Okay? Well, I just like to be alone. Well, there's just one problem with that. Jesus ain't too happy with you. Because there's people that need you. People that need you. People that need you. But you've got to get it solid in you first that God loves you and that you matter so that when you do go out there and the first one maybe not like you being all nice and everything, that you don't get all bent out of shape or something and be secure, okay? But you need to know that getting out and eating is a good thing. Did you hear me? Yes or no? Going out to eat, getting out places, talking to people. Hey, especially if you're alone, that's an awesome thing. Go out and spend some time. I'm just going to go by myself. Sure you are. You're going to go right out there and you're going to sit at that table and that waitress is going to come up and she's going to ask you what you're going to like. You're going to be so kind to her and nice to her. You're going to have a conversation. You might see somebody else you might know. You might start to see people that come there on a regular basis and you get to see them. McDonald's. I know all these people at McDonald's. I know every one of them now. I come in every morning. Dan goes, hey, Gary, how you doing? Dan today said to me and Chuck, he said it this morning, we're there. Dan said, hey, you know, he saw me in line. That's the best seat in the corner right over here. That's the best one because I can sit there and see everybody comes in there. And Dan said to me this morning, he said, after I got my food, he said, I was just keeping this seat warm for you. You can have this one. Relationships. Are y'all hearing me? Whether therefore you eat or drink. Get out. Think about your life, how busy it is. And think about the times you eat. Those are opportunities for people. Just throwing that out today for you. Last one is this, the thief on the cross. And one of the malefactors which were hanged, Jesus hanging there with him, said, "If you be Christ, save yourself and us." He's making fun of him. One of the thieves is saying, "If you say you're the Messiah and you're all that, then I heard you speak one time. I don't think you're all that. If you were, you wouldn't be next to me." But the other thief rebuked that thief and said, "Do you not fear God? You're in the same condemnation. You're dying too, Jack. And you are a thief." Okay? "We indeed justly are up here. I'm a thief. You're a thief. We're both thieves up here. And we receive our due reward. We're getting what comes to us. We knew if we did this and we got caught, we'd be killed. And we're getting killed for it. But this man right here, lay off of him. Because he hadn't done anything wrong. You know it. We all know it. Shut up." You hear? And then he looks at Jesus. He says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus looks at him and says, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Are you learning from Jesus today? Say. What was his investment to that thief on the cross? Just my thoughts as I read the Bible. He said to that thief, "You're safe. You're safe. It's going to be okay. Safe." That's my word. A lot of people are so insecure in our world. They've been hurt so bad. It'd be awesome if a person from Fellowship Church could enter somebody's life and not want to take something from them. Not want to get sex from them or get something from them. They just matter as a person. Are you hearing me? And we could say, "You're safe with us." Wouldn't it be cool? And then I believe Jesus, well, he did say it with him. He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He said, "I'm with you. And I'm never leaving you. Ever." Wow, do you think that helped the guy say or not? You think that was maybe a big deal for him at his last breath? Say. I think so. Well, we've learned today from Jesus. Jesus says this to us in Matthew 11:29. He says, "Church, take my yoke upon you. The things that I've done, sort of let me, you know, put that around you. You know? And follow me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. If you'll do what I do, and you'll love people like I love people, and you'll follow my commands." I mean, there's things you need to know and how I'm going to work with you in your own life, and I'm going to help you do this, okay? But if you'll take that, and you take my command seriously to go in all the world and preach the gospel and reach others for Christ, if you'll go ahead and put that around your neck, and you carry that cross with me, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be right there with you. And you're going to find out this is really a good way to live your life. Y'all hear me or not? I learned it from Jesus, how to invest in people. Even when Jesus had nails in his hands hanging naked on the cross, he was still what? He's still investing. He's incredible, isn't he? Praise the Lord. Jesus loved people. Say that with me. One more time. Let's see a hand raised this morning in the house. Jesus Christ came into your life and flat out saved your sorry tail and gave you a brand new life, and you're not ashamed to say it. Let me see your hand in the house this morning. Hallelujah! That's our Savior. Amen.
We share that with our community. Did we talk about judging them up here or say or no? Was that in the message? Then don't.
You're going to stand out. You're going to stand out. They're going to go, wow, I think I'm going to go to that fellowship church.
Because we get it trained into us somehow to judge people. It is just disgusting, guys. Love people. Amen. Say. Come on. I'm done with this. I know you're wore out today, but this is good for you. Good. Football season ain't started yet, so we're fine. Here we go. Here we go. Come on. Here we go. Invest by giving your best. This is something I came up with years ago. I'm not so sure that I didn't even borrow it from somebody. I don't know. I may have made it up, but it's been so long ago I can't even remember. But here it is. This is just something that you can remember when you're investing in people. Remember this word, best. I want to give my what? I want to give my what? When I invest, I want to give my what? I want to give my what? I want to give my what? How hard is that? Do you want to give your worst when you're investing with people? You want to give your what? Just remember that word, best. Here it is, best. Bless. Encourage. Sacrifice. Touch. One more time. Bless. Encourage, sacrifice, and touch. What does that mean? It's not that hard, guys. The word bless means to speak up words or well words. That's what the word bless means, to speak up words or well words into someone's life. So, bless means to speak up words to what for people? To what? Lift them. Lift them. Lift them. Use your words. As you invest in others, use your words to what? Lift them. E, encourage. The word means to pump courage into somebody, to undergird someone with courage, to give them strength. So, our words should what? Build up. Build up. Give people your best. Speak upwards. And then wait, encourage them. Build up people. Encourage them. Let them, when they see you come, and not try to run. Oh my gosh. But know when they see you coming, they're going to get lifted and they're going to get encouraged. Amen? Say. And you don't have to be goofy here, guys. Encouragement doesn't have to be, well, the Lord gave me this. Now you can just be normal. That crazy goofy stuff scares them. Okay? Number three. It's S, sacrifice. Do what? Give up. Now see, guys, investing in people is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you speaking up. It's going to cost you building them up and encouraging. That takes time. That takes thinking, effort. Sacrifice is going to take you giving up. Maybe time, listening ear, maybe some food. That's what my mama did. Vegetables, jellies, pickles in a jar she had made, hanging basket plants. Okay? Tithe. She had no problem with giving some poor woman, I'm going to say it straight up, tampons and toilet tissue. My mama had no problem doing that. People may think she's crazy. That woman needs that. And she'd take a bag to her and say, here, this is for you. It's in there. And they'd look at her like she's crazy. But they learned to love my mama. Y'all hearing me? Yes or no? Quit being so dignified. Excuse me. Amen. Come on. Can't believe I just said that. It's going on the radio. Here we go. Oh, we're fine with it. Here we go. Am I red? Okay. The last one is this, touch. I am? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I got no problem telling you what Mama did because Mama was awesome. Amen. Touch is the last one. So bless, encourage, sacrifice, and touch. And that word is step up. Okay? And I'm just going to do that. This man right here, step on up. Okay.
I love you. You know what I'm saying? And you know what he just said into my ear? I love you too, Pastor. Always. People need to be touched. Come on. I love this lady. See there? Look at that. It's not hard to get some loving. Is it hard to get some loving? Say, it's not hard to get some loving. But I, over the years, have made investments in their lives. Did we have this plan today? Man. Okay. All right. Amen. I love you. Son, stand up. Hey, you know what? I love you. See, he says he loves me too. And you know what? I believe it. This man matters. This little guy matters to me. Gonna be in the ninth grade next year? Gonna be at the high school. Amen. He's a good ball player. You know, he matters. You know what I'm saying? All right? I'm gonna do this to the whole church. Come on, stand on up. Come on. Hey, I love you. And I'm proud of you. You know what he said? I love you back. I'm proud of you. Charlie put his faith in the Lord here. Started serving the Lord. Got it in his heart. Absolutely. Something his wife prayed for years. Is that right?
Yep.
Gave his heart to Christ. Loves people. A regular guy. Used to have an aluminum business and all that kind of stuff and still works with that stuff today.
Yep.
Amen. With your son. Right?
Yep.
Praise God. See, you matter to us. He sends me texts sometimes. And not very often, but sometimes just a little word to encourage me. Matters. You know what? Because he comes back to me. Did you see how that happened or not? Right here, stand on up. You my last one. Amen.
How you doing? I love you, buddy.
Amen. He said he loves me too. It's not made up. This man right here is my barber. He has the easiest job in Englewood.
Tough job, huh? Takes about 2 minutes.
Praise the Lord. Hey. But I love this man. Oh, this man's a Casanova. You just don't know it.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding. Hey, when I needed tips, he was cutting my hair and giving me tips. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But you see how that works or not?
Yeah, it absolutely does.
And I love you. You do it all the time.
Absolutely. I'm in the beauty shop.
Yep. In the beauty shop, he says, I do it all the time. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise the Lord. That's a good time this morning. Amen. Well, we're done with the message. We're done. Just wanted. I don't want.